Hey, good evening. We're going to go ahead and get started. It's the 30th of September, and tonight is questions and answers.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I behold you through the eyes of love. You radiant beings, you gods and goddesses. With that said, I hope that that is finally sinking into your consciousness. Consciousness is what we are teaching here. We're teaching people to stretch their consciousness. We're teaching people to have new and bigger and better ideas. What we are also teaching people is the idea that we are going beyond thought. We are stuck in this thing of thought. We are always using thought as a pointer to go someplace. There's nothing wrong with thinking. There's nothing wrong with thought. But you have to realize that there's something beyond thought. So the idea that we talk about this thing called God is always going to be beyond thought. It's always going to be something deeper than we are doing on the surface of life. So, with that said, let's start with turn to your husband, please, and say, I love myself.
I love myself.
I know.
I love myself.
And I love myself. This is the most important thing to realize. If you want to, there's so many questions out there that people have. Why am I here? What is life all about? What is this going on? What is that going on? Who is God? Is there a God? Isn't there a God? The main thrust of everything is to learn to love yourself and to learn to respect yourself. And see yourself as this radiant being that you truly are. All the ills of this world would be solved if people loved themselves. It's so simple. But we have a little mind, and that little mind is the ego mind, and it loves to tell us what? That we're not enough, that we don't have enough, that we don't do enough. It loves to be negative all the time. So, we're learning that we are wonderful human beings, that we are lovable human beings, and that we can love ourselves, and that we can come up with a reason why we love ourselves. The only reason why you need to know about loving yourself is you're here. You're a human being, you're here. And that should be an intrinsic quality within you, the idea that you love yourself. It's taken away from you. It's taken away from all of us at a very early age. And it is certainly not taught in this world the idea of loving yourself. When you learn to love yourself, so many things leave you. One of the things that leaves you is illness and disease. Because if you love yourself, you're not going to allow yourself to do that. But we are not taught those things. So we fall victim to the consciousness of the world. So this month we were talking about the game and not to play the game that the world is playing out there. An interesting little sidebar here is yesterday I went to see Wall Street. Mm-hmm. And it's about the money. It's a wonderful movie. It's well done, well acted. I have nothing but kudos to say about Wall Street. So it's about all this money. In fact, it was about $100 million. And the young man gets all upset and he's talking about the money and so forth. And the older guy says, you just don't get it. It's not about the money. It's about the game and how to play the game. The money is just a side effect of what you're doing. And you've heard me say that here, prosperity and abundance, including money. Money is always going to be a side effect of your thinking, of your consciousness. It's not the thing to go after. If you love yourself, money must follow. Money must follow that. That's why we always say, do what you love and the money will follow. So there are so many things, and I told you last week the whole idea of abundance is, abundance means to go deeper or to go beyond thought so that you have an abundant life, so that you can think differently about life itself, so that you can see that it truly is a wonderful experience that you're having and that you're living on a wonderful planet, and this whole experience should be absolutely wonderful for you. Yes, you're going to have your ups, you're going to have your downs, but you're going to come out all right when you know that it is an abundant life, that this is a wonderful planet that we live on, and that things are working out exactly the way they are supposed to be. Many people say, oh, I wish I'd have known that sooner. Well, you can't know anything sooner. Give that idea up. You can only know what you know when you know it. That is why we talk about the now here, and the only power that you have is in the now. There's no power anywhere else but in this very instant. This very instant is where all the power is. Your mind wants to take you back and forth from the future to the past, from the past to the future, so that it never wants you to stay in the now. The mind cannot stand to be in the now. Why can it not stand to be in the now? Because if you're in the now, you can come to a place which is called emptiness. And the mind hates to be empty. But the whole idea of this experience that we're having is to find that emptiness. And that emptiness is that whole idea that you've heard all your life, the peace that passes all understanding. That is the emptiness that you want, meaning you're not thinking for a moment. You're just being. You're not thinking, you're just being. You're not being when you are thinking. Many artists knew this. In fact, to use an example, Michael Jackson knew this. As weird as he may have been in the hall, as soon as he heard the music, all thought left him. And he used an essence. And that life essence came. And he wasn't thinking. He was just being. And that's what we are trying to learn here, just to be. But the world does not teach you that, and you look around and you imitate other people and you don't realize that the goal in life is to become empty. The world tells you it's to become full. It's to keep adding things to you, to yourself. And the whole idea is to get rid of old things so that you do become empty. So, with that said, that is the thing. The theme for the month was, don't play the game. So don't play the game that the world's playing. Play a different game. Play your game. See yourself differently. Learn to love yourself. Learn to know that you are worthy and deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. Learn those things for yourself. You're the only person that can do that. As many times as I tell you that you're gods and goddesses, as many times as I tell you that you're worthy and deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter, you must take that in and make it your own, because I cannot think for you. All I do is throw out things for your mind to latch onto. You must take those things and think about them and make them your own. And change anything in you. And that's that wonderful thing. And I use it, just had to use it again today, to remind myself that I must argue with my mind like a lawyer before a court. And I must always win. Because the mind wants to tell you something differently. You are not your mind. You are not your thoughts. You're something beyond all that. And this is what you're trying to discover for yourselves. And when you do that and you leave the world alone, you don't get sucked in by the world. The world wants your attention. It's always waving a red flag in front of you, like in front of a bull. And it wants you to charge. You must realize that all that stuff out there is just an attention getter. And if you allow that to take your attention, then that's where you are. So just look around and don't get all upset with what's going on around you. It's trying to gain your attention. Keep your attention on yourself, on this idea that you are love and that you love yourself. Okay, now I'm going to stop and I'm looking in for questions. Who has a question? Metaphysical, please. I can answer other questions, but it would be nice if you stayed with medical or metaphysics.
I was reading a book.
Yes.
And I kind of figured out that he's probably talking about the multiple personalities that we go through while we're doing crazy things or happy things. We kind of change our mood, and that sort of becomes a thought form, sort of. Very unusual book. And he, but in that, he had a chapter on tree spirit and how Buddha would sit under a certain tree, and then he would converse.
It was the Bodhi tree that he said.
Yes, he would converse with the tree. And that's where he got his insight. And the man who's he was suggesting that we all find our tree or something in nature that, oh, it could be a rock, it could be a lake that you go by or whatever, but that would really enlighten you and just to, you know, take things up from under the tree, take these treasures and behold them and take them home and keep them in. You know, and it kind of like, you know, it's weird since I was always a young child and, you know, remember collecting leaves for the science class in whatever, second grade or whatever, being in love with trees, love green, you know. And so it's like I always feel comfort under the tree. And I'm going back going, how did I even know this? You know, it's just like the stuff we know that we go through that we don't remember, but it comes back to you as you, you know. But I found a lot of comfort in that. So I've been kind of paying more attention to trees.
Yes.
And just trying to meditate under the tree, rolling around in the grass with the dogs under the tree, you know, and kind of going, okay, let it all release and let's find our peace of mind. And, you know, so that was, it's not really a question, but I just wanted to share.
But everything is a thought form.
Yeah.
And everything is a form of your consciousness or the consciousness. So you see, you can say this thing that we call God is pure consciousness. It's a consciousness that spreads over everything. And it takes many forms. And it takes the form of a tree. Trees and plants and animals have a more pure type consciousness than we do because they're not polluted. They don't talk to each other.
They don't think.
Yes, they don't think.
It's a conscious communication.
Yes. But all, anything you see is a thought form or a form of consciousness, because this is what consciousness does, or this thing that we call God does. It makes everything and then it moves on to make something else. You see, someday we will move on. When consciousness no longer needs human beings, it will change and become something else. We see this all the time. You see, that's what consciousness does. It makes stuff and it moves on to something else. And at the present moment, we're in that flux of consciousness where we have an opportunity to participate in evolution. And if we don't participate in evolution, consciousness will say, I'm sorry, humans, we no longer need you. We have to come up with a different form that will raise us up higher. So, we're not that supreme thing that people think we are. We're consciousness forms and consciousness. The whole idea when I talked about Michael Jackson is all, that is what we're talking about, is to find that essence, to find that consciousness that you are with inside of you and allow it to do the work for you. But we think that we have to do that work, you see. Michael Jackson discovered that if he didn't think and so forth, and he just got up and left this essence, which is pure consciousness, work through him. His music and all was magnificent. Many artists know that when they're painting something. But they just let the pain go and they make what they do. That's pure essence. That's pure consciousness coming through. You can always learn all the techniques for art or for music and anything. But if you don't understand essence, you will never be a great artist. You will never be a great piano player or anything unless you let this thing called consciousness, this thing called God, come through. That's the whole idea of letting go and letting God. That's the whole idea of surrendering. When we say surrendering, what are we talking about? We're talking about surrendering to the moment. We're surrendering to the now, because that's where the power is. But we do not want to ever surrender to the now, because then we think we have lost control. But if you surrender to what's in front of you, to the very now, then this thing called consciousness's essence, which is all life, will come through you. You see, that also relates to the idea, I am that I am. You see, you have to be part of the I am. And that's the essence. So your life becomes so much better when you realize that there is something more powerful in you and around you that you can allow to take over. And we're afraid to do that because we think, well, then I'll lose myself and who will I be? But it's also stated, and I believe it was Jesus who said that, you must die to yourself. You must die to the self. And then the other essence that's inside of you comes out and does that. And you have rare moments of that. We all have rare moments of that. Sometimes when I go to talk, I want to say one thing, but something else just keeps coming out. That is not me. I mean, it is me, but it's not me because that's spontaneous. It's not planned, but something says, and it just keeps going. It just keeps rolling. And you've all, everyone has had that experience, and that's that essence that we want, and that's the essence that connects us all together. And that's what we're doing. And life is so much better when you do that. It's just because life wants to live. This thing called God is pure life. It knows how to do it. We don't know how to do it. We just keep thinking we know how to do it.
I have had that experience when I was studying dance, and you just get into the moment.
Yes.
You're in the moment, and you're just floating. You're just,
yes.
You're totally empty inside. You just go with the flow. You just go,
yes,
with it, and you surrender.
Yeah, you surrender, and you have that trust.
Exactly.
You see. So you can learn all the technique, but without surrendering. And you see that. I see many artists. I go to many different things, and I can tell right away, especially with acting, if the essence doesn't come through, they can have all the technique. They can graduate from Juilliard or wherever they wanted to graduate from. But if they don't allow that essence to come through, it has no life. It has no life to it.
I am, when I was searching for my spiritual path, I was chanting for a while, but I never got it.
Mm-hmm.
I never understood,
right,
what really Buddhism was about. I knew that you did this chant,
right,
and you're supposed to get caught up in the rhythm of it, and that you're also supposed to rise to a higher level,
yep,
and let go.
Right.
Same thing, but I never got that.
That's a very difficult one. Who does chanting and is famous is Tina Turner.
Tina Turner, same chant.
The same chant, yes. Well, that's a new, I used to know that chant. I don't know it anymore.
Nam-myoho Renge.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I never understood Buddhism. I never understood what it was all about. All I knew was I was invited to these meetings and given this little book and, you know, my beads, and we started the chant, and the rhythm was really nice and all of that, but I don't understand what it's about.
Right, because you weren't allowed to, you did not allow yourself to let go. I can't do that, by the way, either, so don't think that I know how to do that.
You need to understand.
What?
You don't really need to understand it. You don't understand it. You don't need to understand it. But the whole idea of a chant or anything is to reach that emptiness where you are no longer thinking. You see, and it's so difficult for us not to think. Any type of meditation, you can, if you just do beans, you can just keep beans going on in your thinking till that no longer, no other thoughts are going on in there. And that's what we're always, that's what Buddhism and all is, to slow down the thinking process. We want to reach God, we want to reach all these things, but you cannot do it with the mind. But yet we're tricked into thinking we can do it with thinking. You cannot do it with thinking. But see, we put such a value on thinking. And we're taught, oh, he's such a thinker. He really thinks. Nothing wrong with thinking. But it will not get you to the point that you want to get to. When you can no longer think, the emptiness happens and the essence comes in. It's always there behind the scene, but you can't get to it because of all the static of all the thinking that's going on.
But I never understood what Buddhism was about. I mean, what are the priests doing chanting out for what reason? I mean, for they're not spreading the word or telling anybody anything. It's just they're sitting there meditating and chanting, and I don't get it.
Because it's done with the collective consciousness, and the more people that would sit around, if the whole world would sit around and chant, things would change. Because it's all the thinking and the doing and so forth that's out there.
So that's their their essence, is to change the world through chanting and the rhythm of it and to get
And we, that's the only way you
spread the word. They spread the word.
They didn't spread the word to me. No. I never got anything to read. I was never instructed about what it was all about. Nothing. All we did was chant.
But they have a presentation and they explain it. And then they come up to new people after the meeting.
Maybe that was where you went.
Oh, I've been to a lot of different
ones. But that wasn't my experience.
Yes. But I agree with Paula. Buddhists do not proselytize.
No.
Only Christianity does that.
I've been chanting for years, and they have.
When you say years, when did it? How many?
Last.
1979.
Yes.
Why would you chant if you don't understand what you're doing?
I do understand, and when I chant, my life is totally different. I don't chant all the time. When I do chant, things change. And you know what? Part of the reason you just clarified it is when I do, I feel empty, and I don't want that feeling.
Well, yeah. You don't like the feeling of being empty.
And I just clicked when you said that.
Yes.
When you do, you don't want...
Yeah, I feel an emptiness. And that's uncomfortable.
Yes, it scares myself.
Because I notice when I chant, I eat. I stop and I eat and I get distracted because of that emptiness. Mm-hmm.
Well, when I don't come to Dallas on Thursday, I feel an emptiness. I feel that I haven't completed my week. I need to do this. This is a part of my being, and it fills me up. But I need... the way I learn, I guess I learn like everyone else, but I need to get the information. I need to see it in writing. I need to read it. I need to hear it. I need to experience it. I can't just have somebody tell me or give me the words to chant, and it doesn't mean anything to me.
I'm surprised because they pick people to do presentations, and they hand out brochures. And
I never got any brochures. I got the little book with the chant on it.
I used to help people learn that.
Well, it's not my way. That's all I'm saying.
That's it. There are many ways.
It's not for me. Just like Christianity is definitely not for me.
Oh, thank goodness.
I learned that early in life.
About your comment on the chanting and all that. Something about some of the books that have been reading, well, one of them actually was Unlimited Good Things, book on, well, not astrology, she called it for love signs or star signs or something. And
what?
Star signs. And Linda Goodman, it's a book from 78 or something, and she was talking about Tesla. She used to live in a house owned by Tesla, who was a famous inventor, okay? And you know who he is, too, right?
He invented electricity.
Yes, he was at the top of, where is it, in Colorado, the highest point, like 10,000 feet or something, and he could put, during electrical storms, he could put light bulbs in the ground and they would light up.
Right.
Well, of course, the government didn't want anyone to know about this because how would they make any money? But his point was, by vibration, he thinks that humans could be healed by vibrations, and that could be the chanting, the certain low frequency noises, certain voices, things like that. And you're like, oh my God, I've heard this before. But every time I hear this, I kind of get all.
Yes.
Well, it only works if you believe.
Right. That's probably true. I mean, and like prayer could be kind of like another type of form of vibration and energy. They say that when you pray for people that are ill, they usually get better because of all the voices and all the energy going into
lack
something.
Of conscious.
Yes. So something like that. But I just thought that was a nice point. I really like reading that book. You know, because it helps me kind of go, another thought, another interesting.
Right. Let me talk a minute about Tesla.
Yeah.
Because here again, the world teaches so many things that are not right. They teach you that these lights that we see now came from Edison. These lights did not come from Edison. He invented the incandescent light bulb. The incandescent light bulb was run on direct current. These lights that you see here are run on alternating current. Tesla is the one that invented alternating current. We would not have lights today because direct current cannot go far. You see, it cannot go far. It cannot travel. This can go far. Now, the other thing is that people do not know about Tesla, except he was an absolute genius. Today, the thing that he discovered, besides alternating current, and we all have one, and we couldn't run today without it. The world would not run today without it, is the remote control. All remote controls use Tesla's formula. And no, he's never given credit for that. So when you turn on the television with a remote control, that's a Tesla device. You see. Now, the reason why some of these things are so important is because, you see, the world and education and all does not teach the truth. It does not teach you. It teaches, you know, Thomas Edison, everyone thinks Thomas Edison. You see. It's the same way with McConaughey did the radio. You know. Anyway, just little things. Don't play that game, but learn these things. Why is that so important? It's so important because so many people think that there was a man by the name of Moses that took everyone out of Egypt. They have never been able to prove there is no factual information whatsoever that Moses ever even existed. But yet, that is taught constantly. And that's a false premise to start something on.
And the virgin birth.
And the virgin birth.
There are, I think there were 37 depictions of the virgin birth in ancient Egypt.
Right.
In the pyramids.
Yes.
And the temples.
Yes.
And all over. And what a virgin birth meant to the Egyptians, they knew that they were making it up, but they were saying that this person that was born was exalted.
Yes.
Was a very special person. And so Christianity took that idea.
Yes.
And created the whole.
Yes.
Virgin birth of Jesus.
All religion, people, all religion is man-made. It is not from God, and it is not the Word of God. And if it ever was the Word of God, we would not know that today, because it's gone through so many incarnations. It's gone through so many different languages. It has been rewritten for 2,000 years, 2,500, 2,600 maybe by now, times. But people swear that this is the absolute truth. If it makes you happy, please do it. But this idea of Christianity, Judaism, Islam, all of these teachings are based on one thing, a monolithic God. And we are not sure about that.
One God.
But there's never been a gospel according to God.
There's never been a gospel according to God. There's always been a gospel according to a man. And it's always men, usually. There are some books in the Bible, Esther and all. Mm-hmm. But men wrote it. So they always wrote it from their point of view, and they always left women out. And were very. Why are all in Judaism, there are no, very few restrictions for men. There are all restrictions for the women. You see. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. Study that and look at it historically and so forth. But do you want to go on another 2,000 years spreading the same myth? Mm-hmm. It's not getting us anywhere to spread that. And it's not blasphemy, and it doesn't mean that I hate churches or anything, or different religions and all. I just don't want to participate in them, that's all. And that's what they did with religious science, which I tell you, Ernest Holmes never wanted it to become a religion. His followers turned it into a religion. Jesus never wanted a church. His followers turned it into a church. Very few things we know about Jesus, as I said, only 23 days of his life. The church has nothing to do, the church that you see today has nothing to do with Jesus, except his name is there, and the idea of Christian, because of being Christed, is there. But the church was built by Paul. But it had nothing to do with Jesus whatsoever. It was built by Paul. And that's all. It should be called Paulism. No, it should be. It's his teachings and so forth. But here again, don't take that and get all mad and upset and all that. Use your own thinking and think about this thing. And see this life force. See this essence. Feel this. Know that you're connected to the trees. Know that you're connected to everything and to everybody. And that there is something going on that you can learn to participate in. And you can learn to let it participate through you. This is what the thing is about. So this idea, again, of worshiping a God and doing all this stuff, give that idea up. Learn to worship yourself. Learn to love yourself. Learn to see what qualities you have inside of you. Pull those out and live a wonderful life. Look around and see how beautiful it is. Did anyone see the sky tonight?
I saw it earlier today. Ah, the clouds and all.
Absolutely magnificent. Where are you going to get a display like that? You know, these are the things that we want to look at and do. We don't want to, you know, do I care if Jesus was born in a stable? No, now you know that's a bunch of bunk. You know, that's a bunch of bunk. And it was added years later. All this stuff was added. But here again, that doesn't mean a thing. What means a thing in your life is, how am I thinking? And how am I thinking about myself? Not how am I thinking about other people. How am I thinking about myself? And if thought is so powerful, and that I can change thought, I can learn to think the thought that I want to think instead of just letting random things come into my head, then you have mastery over your life. If you don't, you're going to be sucked in by the world, and all those red flags are going to keep charging. It's going to take your attention away. Keep your attention on yourself and how am I thinking at this moment. It's called awareness.
Okay. First cause. explain to me, I know what first class is, but when someone mentioned astrology.
Yes.
And you said, remember God is first class.
Yes.
And all that other stuff
is secondary.
Is secondary. So how does astrology play into, if it's second cause, or third cause, or fifth cause, or whatever, how is that, I don't understand how that plays into God, or...
Well, it doesn't.
It doesn't.
It doesn't play into God. And astrology was changed to astronomy. And astronomy is the study of the stars. Astrology is saying that a star has power to cause you
control.
To be this,
right.
this, and this.
Exactly.
You see, we've changed those things. All that stuff is all well and good. You can read the horoscope in the mornings, and you can decide to go with it or not go with it. But it is not the end-all, be-all, and it is not first cause. It always anything that you do is always going to return to the idea that God is the source and the supply of everything, and that you are connected to that source and that supply. You are one with it. You are not separated from it. And that, by using your own thinking, your own mind, learning to think correctly, this is how you create your life and your reality.
But when my sister's always talking astrology, oh, he's Cancer, that's why.
Yeah, oh, yes, well.
I tell her, she said, you know, I don't believe in that. But I don't know how to get her connected to first class. I don't know how to rebut her argument or her statement about, you know, he's a Scorpio, that's why he's this or that and the other. I don't know how to.
You won't be able to. Rhoda, you know the answer that she's asking. When you want to say something to your children and so forth, to help them, what do you do? You don't. You see? You don't.
Just let her go.
You don't. See, Rhoda discovered that. She just doesn't. They want it. Yes, she has all these ideas. She could tell them, I want it done this way and this way and this way. She doesn't interfere.
That doesn't usually change the subject.
Yes, well, that's a good one. Change the subject. You just don't.
Because they have their own thoughts. And who knows, they may be right. I don't know.
Yeah.
Talked about these people through history who have these comments and who were on the path of all this knowledge that you're speaking about all the time back, like 4,000 years ago or 2,000 years ago. I know you talk about the Greek, different writers and all that. Do you think that before we go on to our next consciousness that will we all have to know these things or be aware of them or wake up to this, since we already knew it before we got here and whatever we're here for? Before we die, some people, they believe, will never die. They just change body forms and live in other human bodies and become younger. And that's interesting. Maybe that's true. Some people will become younger and move to another country and change their name, and maybe they never die. Do you believe that kind of thing? And do you think, well, you know what? It may be possible because, like you said,
move to another country and they never die?
Well, you know, because look, he says, we are just an illusion anyway. This is all just a big movie we're in.
We're not an illusion.
But what we're seeing is, mean, we are a spirit creature in a human form.
Right.
But we make up a lot of these things that we believe.
We make up almost all the things that we believe. But let me back up a moment and correct one thing that you said. When you move on to a different consciousness, you're always the same consciousness. Your consciousness it never changes. The essence that you are will never change. You will, yes, you will learn more. But this will never change. Now, will you, the knowledge that you get and obtain, this I do not know, you see. But I'm You see, this teaching and myself, I'm not concerned with the afterlife. I'm concerned with what's going on right here and right now. And I'm concerned with making it the very best experience that I know how to make it, so that I'm not depressed, so that I'm not gloomy, so that I'm not angry, so that I'm not playing all the games that the rest of the world is playing. You see? And I can get that, and I can feel that. But I become aware of that, and I say, no, I am not doing that. I am not. That's the red flag going up, and I'm not going to charge it like a bull. I'm going to sit back and say, ha, you're trying to get my attention. I am not falling for it, because if you fall for it, you have lost yourself. You see? Well, there are people that believe in physical immortality. Leonard Orr is one of them. But I met Leonard Orr, and I cannot stand Leonard Orr. So I hope he does not have immortality. A horrible thing to say. O-R-R. Leonard Orr. He didn't write that many. He is the founder of Rebirthing. Yes. He and Sandra Ray did it. Sandra Ray had a workshop years ago called Loving Relationships Training. And when I behold you through the eyes of love, you radiant beings, you, it comes from her.
Is it R-A-Y, Ray, or R-A-Y?
R-R-A-Y, Ray.
A lot of the books.
Yeah. She was a nurse.
Yeah.
Well, red hair.
Well, science of mind teaches us that spirit never dies.
Yes.
That our physical being,
yes,
this vessel,
yes,
withers and goes away, but spirit never, right, dies. Now, yes, it's very comforting to think that we're going to reincarnate and come back and,
right,
whatever. That's very comforting to people.
It is comforting.
We don't know.
We don't know. All you know is this
that
moment.
That makes you feel good.
Yeah.
Well, who wants to go? I think I'm half a year, but
well,
you know, like the religion that my family went to, Jehovah's Witnesses, and I think they taught, if you're going to learn about the Bible, boy, they dig in and they find a lot of stuff out, yes, and a lot of people don't want to know about it, and I liked some parts of it. And the thing that I always liked is, like, you live on the earth forever, you will always be on the earth. And I was, yay, because I don't want to go off and be an invisible body. I like being on the earth. Maybe I don't remember that I like forever.
Have you seen any Jehovah Witness do that?
What?
Stay here forever.
No, because they think that when they will be rebirthed or whatever, when the Armageddon crap and all that stuff, you know, after all that, and Jesus resurrects everyone, some will go to heaven and the rest will be,
now,
on,
you
will
see,
be on earth. And I don't agree with that.
Well,
now.
Good.
Not on earth, but in hell.
But it was always, and there's no such thing as hell. There's
but
no
if
burning
believe,
hell.
If
no.
You believe in that, how can you believe it when if you believe, it says, whomsoever shall believeth in me shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
Yes, everlasting life on earth. I was always excited about
so
that.
So if you really believe, how the hell can you contemplate death?
Exactly.
I don't.
Yeah. Well, I sometimes think maybe we will never die. I mean, I would bring that up to them, you know. I mean, I've talked
you
about
would,
this before.
You would do what?
Well, when I was with that group of people, my mother had us involved, and then later on, I would question all this stuff, and I would... But, you know, there was a lot of people that kind of like my, you know, a couple of different ladies that I would talk to, and they would have these thoughts, and I'd go, yeah, that's interesting. Let's ask this person. And there was always a big debate about things, and it was never really resolved. You know,
well,
I
it's
never
going to be
no,
resolved.
No, I know. But it was always made me feel like, well, maybe they're on the right track, you know. But, yeah, I know.
Well, when I heard all of that, I rejected all. I said, that doesn't make sense to me. That's not logical.
Well, you can't be intelligent.
At an early age, I didn't believe the Bible. I didn't believe any of that.
Yeah, I was so against the Bible that when I heard their thoughts, it was a little bit less destructive, you know, because they don't believe that you're going to get burnt up in hell like all these other religions and blah, blah, blah. Because we were force-fed religion, like, you know, if you don't do this, you're going to get, you know, you're just going to die. You were afraid of dying because... what was going to happen?
The Bible was written by people with limited intelligence. It was written in a time when there was not no such thing as science or any of that. So you cannot
ignorant people. Absolutely. So they have the same pictures.
So you cannot
and exaggerate.
Do it.
Went there and came up in a Catholic environment. But do you know what I tell her? If she thinks that I'm going to leave her here for somebody else, she's crazier than hell.
There you go.
I ain't going. I'm serious.
I don't
want to
go either.
I ain't leaving her for nobody else. Uh-huh.
Sue?
Yes, I emailed somebody today that I haven't talked to that has been in the class because it was their birthday, and they emailed me back and said they had been robbed.
They had what?
Been robbed, and they didn't want to come out at night. Mm-hmm. And I didn't get a chance to email them back and get any details, and I feel badly. And I wondered if you could give me anything to tell this person. What brought it? What drew it to them?
Oh, well, you never want to say that to anybody, honest to God. That's the worst thing you ever want to say. Guess what? It's your fault.
Clang. No, but you always say we draw things to us.
We do draw things to us.
So I just thought you might have some words of wisdom.
Well, what would draw it to it? Fear. Fear always draws it. But what you must know when you're robbed is what? You know the answer to that.
What's yours by right of consciousness must be returned to you.
Yes.
What's yours by right of consciousness must be returned
to
you.
The fear of...
Yes.
You know, I don't know, because I didn't get the details.
Right.
It was just one line that I don't really like going out anymore because I was robbed.
Yes. Well, that's
so
the fear.
Let's
tell her there's no safer place to be than the police station.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Come on.
That's a hard one. And she's suffering from fear.
Why are we assuming it's a her?
Huh? I didn't say her. Did I
say
her?
Did
I say her?
Yeah, you both did.
I think I said it first.
Yeah.
Oh.
Is it a her? Is it a she?
I don't really want it.
Tell, yeah. Well, we don't know her, but anyway.
Well, it doesn't matter.
No, we do.
We don't know her.
Well, I don't know
her.
We don't know who you're talking about.
Okay, so I just wanted if you could.
Well, she has to get over the fear, so she has to go back to the idea that there's no thing out there that can harm her. She was suffering from fear of some sort. Therefore, she got robbed. I wouldn't tell her that, though.
Okay. Well, then what?
I'm just telling you my.
Yeah, but is there anything I can tell her?
You have to be compassionate. You have to be sympathetic, and you have to put your arm around the person and bring them back to faith.
Just thinking, if you could say something that I could write to her.
Nothing is lost in consciousness. What is hers by right of consciousness must be returned to her. If she thinks she's been robbed and it's lost and all this, she'll never get it back. You'll never get it. If you think it's lost, then it's lost.
That's the key word. You cannot never be lost because God will not answer you. You have to believe you're always found.
But well,
I think the person's more worried about being out than what was lost.
Yes, being afraid that she'll be attacked again or whatever she was, or somebody will mug her, whatever they do. That's a difficult one. She'll have to figure that out. But all you can do is be compassionate.
So I thought maybe I could tell her that you some words of wisdom from you.
Nothing can be lost in consciousness. It's a
just telling you what to say.
To deliver it.
Tell
her nothing can be lost.
Nothing can be lost in consciousness.
Maybe she just needs to be listened to instead of talked to.
We were just emailing. Why didn't she listen to the speaking tonight on the
computer?
Yeah. Sure.
Did
she
do
that? She can get a little boost of this.
Tell her to call me. I'll talk to
her.
There
you go. Call the sorcerer. Okay.
Yeah. And then we'll see what comes through when I talk to people. The answers are there.
I just wanted some words of wisdom.
words of comfort and wisdom from you that feels badly.
You can feel badly, but it's not going to do a bit of good, is it?
No. Mm-hmm.
So then why choose to feel badly? You can have compassion.
I do.
And that's all. But do not feel badly. Remember, the choice is, how do I want to feel?
Good.
I don't, yes. So choose good.
Good.
You know, and that's playing the game, people, by the way, and that's the imitation that you think life is. I have to feel bad because somebody else got robbed. You do not have to feel bad. It's a shame that happened. It's this, that, and the other thing. But you do not have to feel bad. You can have compassion. But we are taught, oh, to be a good human being, I have to feel bad about it. No. Now, how is that helping? Now we have two people feeling bad.
Well, I mean,
then you tell somebody else, we have the third, and the fourth, and the fifth, and just keeps going.
I
didn't say you were. I'm using it as an example. Choose how you want to feel. Nothing on the outside of life causes you to feel anything. Your mind is what causes you to feel everything, and you can control your mind. Your whole life and everything that happens to you is contained in a mind that only weighs 3 pounds.
Even the fatties?
Yes.
So instead,
your mind isn't fat. Your thoughts are fat. You didn't hear that?
Yeah, I did.
What? What did I say? Your mind isn't fat. Your thoughts are fat.
Your thoughts are fat.
So instead of feeling sympathy, which is feeling bad for the other person,
compassion.
You should feel empathy.
Yes, and compassion.
Sympathy.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. Because it won't do you, anyone a bit of good.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Wow.
All right. So, what do we know?
Try to get them to come back here.
All right. So, life is wonderful. So are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson.
Already?
Thank you.